Good evening once again, brethren and friends. We're so thankful for your attendance. And we know you want to be here because you're here. That's how we know it. You took time out of your day to be here, to be a faithful Christian. You've heard me say before, I don't know of any place I would rather be on a Sunday afternoon at 5:15 than right here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. And I sincerely mean that. Now, most of you remember this morning, we studied about the faith of Noah. So tonight, I want to continue this line of lessons and talk about the faith of Moses. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, the passage reads as follows in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now here John wrote, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The confidence in all that God has promised and the conviction of the absolute truthfulness of all that he has said. In that great cloud of witnesses that is looking down upon us, cheering us on, encouraging us, telling us that we can do it too, is one more great person of faith that I want to look at. His name is Moses, and we'll be looking at Hebrews 11th chapter, verses 23 through 29. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll begin to read verse 23. Now the Bible tells us, beginning in verse 23 of Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Now the events of this verse are recorded in the first two chapters of the book of Exodus. There was a new king who had risen in Egypt, and one who knew not Joseph. Because of the great number of Israelites in the land, the Egyptians made them slaves. They set taskmasters over them, and they continued to multiply, even took the astonishing step of decreeing that all male children born to their Israeli women should be put to death. The decree stated that every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents, refused the king's mandate. And they first concealed the baby Moses in their home for about a space of 3 months. And then when they could no longer hide him in that fashion, they demonstrated tremendous faith in God by essentially casting baby Moses upon his care, creating a small ark of bulrushes, placing the baby in it, and set it afloat on the river. Now we all know what happened. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter. He was taken in as her son. And in a marvelous example of the providence of God, his own mother was hired to be his nurse. And it's apparent that at her feet, Moses learned who and what he was. That's not all he learned. He learned the ways and the wisdoms of the Egyptians also. But now let's look at verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews 11, which says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, if you look at this purely from a human standpoint, and I mean strictly, purely from a human standpoint, it's hard to believe that Moses did what he did. First of all, he must have had feelings for the daughter of Pharaoh. He knew that she had rescued him as an infant from the terrible death of drowning in the river, and then she had brought him up as her own son, so there had to be some affection there. Yet, he had to turn his back, accept the scorn and the hatred of those who had clothed him and fed him and had educated him. He walked away from wealth, from honor, the power, and the glory that would have come to him. Was he not a possible heir to the throne of Egypt as son of Pharaoh's daughter? Probably was. But he had been nurtured at the feet of his natural mother. He knew who he was and what he was. He knew Jehovah. He had confidence in the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he had conviction in the utter truthfulness of all that God had said. He had faith, brethren. He had faith, and when the time came to make a decision, he made the right one. There wasn't anyone there pleading with him or begging him or pushing him to do what was right. He knew what was right, and he did it. Brethren and friends, that's faith. That is faith. Now, there are an awful lot of things that we have to refuse today, and we have to do it by faith. But it is not so difficult to make those refusals if we truly have faith and confidence in God's promises and convictions that everything He has said, both good and bad now, everything He has said is true. We have to have that confidence. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll be coming back a little while to Hebrews 11 chapter. Right now, let's go to Romans chapter 12. As I said, you have to have confidence in God's promises to us and the conviction that everything He has said, both good and bad, is true. For instance, we as Christians must refuse to be conformed to this world. Paul wrote in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, from 1 John 2:15, you don't have to turn there, but from 1 John 2:15, we learn that we must refuse to love the world or the things that are in it. Oh, that so many of the young people. The young people could certainly learn what we must refuse to be enamored of the wisdom of the world. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:19, he said, For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. It really is kind of summed up in the fact that Moses chose to be with the people of God rather than to enjoy sin for just a time. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. Think about that for just a moment. You see, God was not with the Egyptians. They had power, they had wealth, they had glory, they had honor, they had everything that a man thinks is important, and yet they lacked that which was most important. God was not with them. Moses could have had it all. He could have had it all. He could have indulged himself with every luxury and vice known to man at that time, because that was the richest, biggest country in the world at that time. But Moses had faith. He believed the promises of God that he had learned at the knee of his real mother. He had conviction in the faith, the truthfulness of all that God had said, and when the moment came for him to decide, he made the right decision. And what cries out to the greatness of that decision is the fact that even today, there are so few who make it. So few who will make that decision. And I'm telling you, brethren, I'm telling you, if we had all the faith like Moses, worldliness wouldn't be gaining the stronghold that it's gaining within the body of Christ. We would not be seeing the influence of the world that we're seeing. We wouldn't have brethren trying to defend sin or openly participating in it as we do now. God is not with the world. Think about it. Why is there such a problem with divorce and remarriage in the church? Worldliness. Why do we have to keep harping on modest apparel and for them not to behave themselves in that manner? Worldliness. Why do we find brethren watching movies that even the worldly say are unfit for anyone under 18? Worldliness. Why do we find brethren missing services for worldly things such as school functions or whatever excuse they might use? Because of worldliness. That's why they miss services. And why is worldliness gaining so much momentum among us? Because a lack of faith. That's why. A lack of faith. If we truly believe the promises that God has made to us, and if we were truly convicted of the truthfulness of all that He said, and I mean both the good and the bad, then we would always choose the people of God. Because why? Because that's where God is. Rather, we'd choose that rather than the pleasures of sin that this old world offers. I want to go back to Hebrews 11, if you would, and look at verse 26. Now it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What is the reproach of Christ? Well, different scholars view that in different ways. Some say it's the kind of reproach that Christ suffered. Others say that it is the reproach suffered for one's faith in Christ. Still others say it's the reproach that fell on Moses as a type of Christ. And still others say that it is a reproach that Jesus had to bear in His person and that every Christian has to bear in His person. I say it's a combination of all four of those. Whether we're talking about those Old Testament times who believed in the doctrine, believed in the promises of God and looked for the coming of the Holy One and those who acted accordingly, or if we're talking about Christians today who also believe in the Holy One, who has come and is coming again and act accordingly, they all suffer for their righteousness. All of them suffer for their righteousness. It's inevitable. Righteousness conflicts with wickedness, and there will be an antagonism of the world to be born. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay if we have faith. If we have faith, that's okay. The world is not where we're all about. It's not what we're all about. The world is not our home. And Bill, I know, is going to sing that, lead that song, the last song, page 361. So the world is not our home. Just as Abraham looked for a city with foundation whose builder and maker is God, Moses had respect unto the recompense of his reward. So what was that reward going to be? Well, in a million years, Moses could not have supposed that his reward as a deliverer of a nation of slaves could ever have approached the kind of physical, earthly rewards that could have been his in Egypt. I don't think he ever in a million years thought about that. Never. But Moses looked beyond this world, and that's what made him to do what he did. This is what will make us reject sin, brethren. This is what will make us reject sin. Choose to be with people of the God, and indeed be willing to suffer the antagonism of the world. We have confidence in the promise of God. We know we are going to go to heaven when we die if we live faithfully. We know that. We know we're going to heaven when we die if we live faithfully. Like our brother Don. We have conviction in the truthfulness of all that God has said. This world is not our home. We have faith. And let me tell you, with faith, you won't have to be pleaded with, you won't have to be pushed, you won't have to be begged, you won't have to be cajoled to be what you ought to be. Not if you have faith. Nobody is going to have to come knocking on your door, calling you on the phone, or writing letters to you to urge you to do what you know you should be doing. Knowing what God will have us to do, if you have the faith, you will do it. Knowing what God will have you to do, if you have the faith, you will do it. And if you don't do it, you don't have faith. Look with me, if you would, at verse 27 of Hebrews 11. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do you understand the awesome significance of that statement? Do you? Do you understand it? He said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And by the eye of our faith, Moses saw the eternal, immortal king ready to fulfill at his own time and in his own way all the promises that he had made to his chosen people. Moses knew it was going to happen. There was no need to fear the wrath of Pharaoh. Why? Because God was in control. Because of his absolute confidence in the promises of God, Moses knew full well that the land of Canaan would in due time be given to the seed of Abraham for a possession, and Pharaoh could not do anything about it. Nothing. Because of his utter conviction in the truthfulness of all that God has said, he knew that there was a heavenly home that awaited him. With faith, why should he worry at all about Pharaoh? With faith, what sense does it make to fear what any man can do on this earth? Come with me now, if you would, let's read verses 28 and 29 of Hebrews 11. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Now, friends, let's talk a little about the Pharaoh. Let's talk a little bit about the Passover, I mean, and how it fits into discussion of the faith of Moses. The Passover was an ordinance issued of God through Moses for these purposes. First of all, it was to commemorate the passing over of death and the sparing of the firstborn of the Israelites. Second, it was given to educate the people in the knowledge and the worship of the living God. And third, it was to typify the sacrifice of Christ, our Passover. The interesting thing about it is that just like the Lord's Supper, it was instituted in an anticipation or the event which it was designed to commemorate, and thus Moses' faith is evident again. No one could see how killing a lamb and sprinkling of its blood could have made death pass over the houses that was prepared for that. No one could see that. There was no physical evidence that said this was going to happen. There was no reason from nature to lead men to even expect it. And really no possible way to explain how such a thing could come to pass. You see, Moses didn't really know the how. He didn't really know the why. But he did know to be the what as far as his responsibility was concerned, and he did it. And brethren and friends, that is faith. That is faith. When you think of what happened at the Red Sea, you can readily see the power and the efficacy of faith. Not only on the part of Moses, but also on the part of all the Israelites. It was their belief in God and in His Word that saved the Israelites. And we may also add, it was the unbelief and the persistent disobedience of the Egyptians that brought about their demise. Faith, confidence in the promises of God, and the conviction and the truthfulness of all that he has said. I'd like to bring this sermon to a close by looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read 32 down through verse 40. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and Japheth, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, and waxed valiant in fight, turned to the flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. and others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisoning. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Brethren and friends, we walk in the fulfillment of the promises. We walk in the promises of God. And that is faith. So Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. If there's anyone here this evening who is not a Christian, you can realize that to become a Christian is to take a serious step, to make a deep commitment to Christ. It requires a commitment of all your heart and your mind and your soul to learn the difference between right and wrong, to serve and follow the Lord of all the days of your life, and to pay any price to make any difference to go to heaven when you die. That's what it's all about. You go to heaven when you die. You have a price you have to pay. And if you would come with that understanding, ready to make that commitment, you need to come repenting of your sins on the basis of the faith that you have in God and in His Son and in His Word. Then confess that Jesus is the Son of God because He is. And be buried in the waters of baptism. And so the blood of the Savior will wash away every spot and every stain, and you will rise up clean and renewed, and you will have the hope of going to heaven after a while. If you've wandered away from the Lord and you need to be restored to the Lord, He waits for you. In fact, the angels in heaven are waiting for you, and they are anticipating your coming. And we want to invite you right now, and we plead with you right now to come forward. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's anything remiss in your life right now that you need to get off your chest, if your conscience is bothering you on anything, take care of it. Come forward and let us pray with you and for you, because we care about you. We all care about each other. Children of God do that. So if we can help anyone make their life right with God, come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.